This morning, let's turn to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 1. The very first chapter of the New Testament Scripture. The four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Matthew was of the tribe of Levi, and he was one of those hated tax collectors. He was employed by the Roman government to collect taxes. And Jesus found Matthew in another scripture seated at the table of custom, and he told him to follow me, and he immediately left the money and followed Jesus. And as we look at Matthew's account of the birth of Jesus Christ today, there is a twofold character in which Matthew writes, and the theme, of course, is found in verse number 1 of Matthew chapter 1. And it reads, "The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham." Let us pray. Father in heaven, we're thankful now for the privilege of prayer, of worship with your saints in the house of God. So, Father, I'm so thankful for the local congregation here, known as the Bethlehem Primitive Baptist Church. Father, bless our members who are absent, Brendan James and Brother Lamont, and I pray that you'll bless them to be back with us next Sunday. Father, now, own us and bless us as thy dear children. And as we look here at Matthew's account of Jesus and who he is, the lineage that he has, as the son of David and the son of Abraham, let us see how those twofold characters bring to light the work of our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. Matthew's gospel is primarily the gospel to the nation of Israel, to the Jewish people. He focuses on the kingship of Jesus Christ because he is, through lineage, the son of David. Because Joseph and Mary both were descended from King David. Here in Matthew chapter 1 and chapters 2 and 3, we can see also that the lineage of Joseph is given all the way back to Abraham. And in Luke chapter 3, Luke gives the lineage of Mary, the mother of Jesus, all the way back to Adam, the first man, showing the humanity of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But this book of Matthew is, first of all, he says, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David. Now, as the son of David, he is of the kingly tribe. Remember that Jesus came through the tribe of Judah and not through the tribe of Levi. Now, in the Old Testament, remember that God instituted the priesthood through the tribe of Levi. And Aaron, Moses' brother, was the first high priest of the tribe of Levi. But Jesus came through the tribe of Judah. He's called the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And through that lineage, through David, he is shown as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Now, God made David a promise in 2 Samuel chapter 7, when he confirmed his covenant with King David. Let's look at it. In 2 Samuel chapter 7, now David here desired to build the Lord a temple. But because David was a man of war and not a man of peace, the Lord told David that you're not going to be able to build the temple, but your son Solomon will build the temple. But he prepared most of the material for it. But he gives David a wonderful promise in verse 16 and 17 concerning the promise of the coming of Jesus Christ. And listen to this. In 2 Samuel 7:16, "And thy house and thy kingdom shall be established forever." Your kingdom will be established forever before thee. Thy throne shall be established forever. According to these words and according to all this vision, so did Nathan the prophet speak unto David. And then after that, David worshipped and prayed before the Lord in a very humble manner, saying, "Who am I, O Lord, and what is my house that thou hast brought me hitherto?" He was humbled by the promise that God gave him concerning the perpetuity of the kingdom. Now, the continuation of that kingdom did not find its fulfillment in the natural throne of Israel in Jerusalem. Because what happened? Those kings ceased to be. The last king of Judah was Jeconiah, and he was taken into Babylonian captivity by Nebuchadnezzar in 586 B.C. And so how then could this kingdom continue in perpetuity if the kingdom was no longer in existence at that time? Well, the answer was that that was a spiritual promise to David, that there would be a king that would come from his loins who would sit on a spiritual throne, reigning over a spiritual kingdom. And we find the fulfillment of that clearly in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1. When we see here that the angel Gabriel appeared unto Mary in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, Gabriel was sent from God in Luke chapter 1 and verse 26 to the city of Galilee called Nazareth to a virgin, the Virgin Mary, who was espoused or betrothed to the man whose name was Joseph. And it says that he is of the house of David. And Mary also is of the house of David. You can look in Luke chapter 3 and find, beginning in verse 23 of Luke 3. Luke 3:23, "And Jesus himself began to be about 30 years of age, being as was supposed, the son of Joseph, which is the son of Heli." But Heli was Joseph's father-in-law, because we read in Matthew 1 that Joseph's natural father was named Jacob. And so Mary and Joseph both were descended from David through Judah. And so Gabriel was sent from God to Mary in Luke 1:28. "And the angel came in unto her and said to her, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women." Truly she was blessed. Israeli women for centuries had wondered if they would be the one whom God would choose to bear the Messiah. And when she saw the angel, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said to her, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus, meaning Savior. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the highest God. And the Lord God, here it is, shall give unto him the throne of his father David. Now, of course, David was indeed the natural forefather of Jesus through the lineage of Mary. Of course, we know that Joseph was not his father. God is his father. But Mary herself was also descended from David. And through his humanity, Jesus Christ was also of the lineage of David. So he will sit on the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Now, what kind of kingdom is this? It is not a natural earthly kingdom. That earthly kingdom of the Jewish kings passed away over 2,000 years ago. But when Jesus came as the King of Kings, he set up his spiritual kingdom, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. And he is the king of his kingdom, and we his people, we are his subjects in his kingdom. And as such, we are to be submissive to the lawful commands of our king. And so by that virtue of Mary being descended from King David, Jesus is literally, not just spiritually or figuratively speaking, but yes, literally, as a man, descended from King David. Now, back in our text, he's also referred to next as the son or the descendant of Abraham. And that speaks concerning the promise God made to Abraham and Jesus as the sacrifice for our sin. Now, Jesus is three things, much more than three things, but he is prophet, priest, and king. Moses spoke of the prophet that would come in Deuteronomy chapter 18, I believe it is, in verse 15. But he's also the great high priest and the king. Now, as the son of David, he would be the seed that God promised to Abraham. In Genesis chapter 12, look with me, God called Abram out of Ur of the Chaldees, a worshiper of idols. That, of course, would be the land of Mesopotamia, the land of Babylon. And God called him to leave the land of his nativity and go to a place that God would show him. In Genesis chapter 12, verse 1, "Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation. And I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curses thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." Verse 3 is the promise concerning the coming seed of Christ. Now, certainly God blessed the descendants of Abraham to form the Jewish nation of Israel in the land of Canaan. And there were other nations that were descended from Abraham as well, not just the nation of Israel. He told Abraham in Genesis chapter 15 to look up into the heavens and see if you can count the stars. And he told him, so shall thy seed be. And in chapter 15, he said this in verse 18. And the same day the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, unto thy seed have I given this land, from the river of Egypt to the great river Euphrates, the land of the Kenite, the Kenizzites, the Cadmonites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Rephaims, the Amorites, and the Canaanites, the Girgashites, and the Jebusites. All those ites in the land of Canaan. God promised it to Abraham's seed. But in Galatians chapter 3, we find that Paul, through the inspiration of God, was taught of the Holy Spirit concerning the spiritual nature of Abraham's offspring. He says in Galatians 3:16, now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds as of many, or plural, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. Christ. Galatians 3:16. It's the same seed that was promised even to the old serpent in Genesis 3:15, that the seed of the woman would bruise the head of the serpent. So this speaks to the sacrifice that Jesus would make on the cross of Calvary. If you go farther in Genesis chapter 22, the story where God commanded Abraham to offer up the promised seed, Isaac, upon the altar of the burnt offering of sacrifice. And he went obediently, fully intending to slay his son Isaac on the altar. But then there was a ram caught in a thicket, and God stayed Abraham's hand. And he said, offer the ram in the stead of thy son Isaac. So in one sense, Isaac was a type of Christ. And then in the other sense, the ram became the substitute for Isaac. So the ram represented Jesus Christ, and Isaac was spared. And that's you and me, God's children. We were spared, and the ram was sacrificed. He was our substitute, and he took the death that we deserved, and we were allowed to go free. What a wonderful, great story and truth the gospel message is. He was our suffering substitute. So he is both the son of David and the son of Abraham. And then beginning in verse 2 of Matthew 1, he gives the lineage from Abraham to Joseph. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Judah, and then the kings of Judah, all the way to King David and Solomon. And then you skip on down. The last king of Judah was Jeconiah. And then they went into Babylonian captivity. And then there was Zerubbabel, the one when they came out of Babylonian captivity, who built the restored temple in Jerusalem. And then all the way, now look if you will, let's start in verse 15, Matthew 1:15. And Eliad beget Eleazar, and Eleazar beget Mathan, and Mathan beget Jacob, and Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary. But notice what it says next in verse 16. Of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. He did not say that Jesus was begotten of Joseph. He was not begotten of Joseph. He was virgin conceived of the Virgin Mary of the Holy Ghost. So all of the begetting ceased right there when God miraculously formed Jesus in Mary's womb. Of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. Now, Christ means anointed. The one who is anointed. And being the anointed one of God, that again embodies the truth that He is prophet, priest, and king. I mentioned Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 15, where Moses said he would be that prophet. He would be the priest who would come. According to lots of Old Testament scriptures, for example, Psalm chapter 110, verse 4. And then he would be the king. All of these were anointed with oil. And Jesus himself was anointed with the Holy Spirit, wasn't he? When he was baptized, remember in Matthew chapter 3 and verse 16, it says, and when Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. He was anointed with the Holy Spirit. The oil that they anointed the prophets, priests, and kings with was a symbol of the Holy Spirit. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And then later in Luke chapter 4, in other places, it says that the Holy Spirit was upon him with power. With power. So he is called Christ. And that's the Greek word for the Hebrew word, Messiah, the anointed of God. He gives a timeline in verse 17. So all of the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations. From David to the carrying away to Babylon, 14. And from Babylon to Christ, 14 generations. That's 42 generations. A generation is 40 years. 42 times 40 is 1,680 years. So it was about 1,700 years during the time frame that Abraham lived on the earth until the coming of Christ. God's timetable is perfect. He came in the fullness of time, according to Galatians chapter 1 and verse 4, I believe it is. Let me see. Galatians chapter 4, verse 4. Galatians chapter 4, verse 4. But when the fullness of the time, not any time, but a specific time, 1,680 years from Abraham to Christ, when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman. Made, that means God formed him in Mary. Made under the law. To redeem them that were under the law, that is the law of sin and death, that we might receive the adoption of sons and daughters. We've been adopted into His family. And because we are His sons and daughters, God says, that He has sent the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit of His Son, into your heart and mine, crying, Abba, Father. Father, Father. He is our Heavenly Father. So we're no longer a servant, but a son. And if a son, then we are an heir of God through Christ Jesus, our Lord. And now we find, beginning in verse 18 of Matthew chapter 1, the matter of the conception and birth of our Savior. Matthew 1:18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as His mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, a Jewish betrothal was more than an engagement, but less than a marriage. It was a binding commitment that would be fulfilled in marriage. But they were not yet married. They had not yet consummated their marriage. And before they came together, Mary was found with child. Now, the Bible says that she was with child of the Holy Ghost. But Joseph did not know that at the beginning. The natural assumption was that she had been unfaithful to Joseph and that she had gone with another man and conceived a child. I mean, that's the only logical, natural thing that anyone in that day could have thought. You know, or even in our day. There had never been a child conceived by a virgin. And there never will be again. It was the one and only time that happened. So, of course, the only thing they could think of was that Mary had been unfaithful to Joseph. And Joseph, her husband, verse 19, being a just man, he was a righteous man. Well, Mary was a righteous woman. But Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not willing to make her a public example, he thought, I will put her away privately. We're going to dissolve our union. I'll put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Now, doesn't say what angel it was. It could have been Gabriel, but it could have been another angel. The angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, telling him, Joseph, thou son of David, always reminding us that he was also descendant of David, fear not to take to thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And he believed the message of the angel that she had conceived by the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, Matthew 1:21, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. This verse tells us what his name Jesus means, for he shall save his people from their sins. It means Jehovah is salvation. Jesus is the New Testament form of the Old Testament name Joshua or Yeshua. Yeshua. You know, Joshua's name, the one who led Israel into the promised land after the death of Moses. We call him Joshua. In Hebrew, they probably pronounced his name Yeshua. Yeshua. We call him Joshua. Yeshua, or Joshua, is, the meaning of it is, Jehovah is salvation. God delivered the new generation of Israel to go into the promised land, delivered their enemies into their hand, And so we see that the spiritual Joshua came to save his people from their sins. His people. Those that God purposed to save in that covenant of grace before the world began. His people. He owns us. He created us. And then He recreated us. We were made in the image of God in Adam. But when Adam fell in sin, we lost that image. But when Jesus came, He restored that image of God once again. And we've already been born of the Spirit, given new birth by the Spirit. And that means that we've already been saved. You don't have to wait till you get to heaven to experience salvation. He saved His people from their sin. Now, salvation is in three tenses in the Bible. It's past tense, present tense, and future tense. If you look in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, you find this. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, I believe it is. It might be. Chapter 1, verse 10. Yep, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10. Who delivered us, past tense, from so great a death, eternal death, and doth deliver us, present tense, in whom we trust that He will yet deliver us. Future tense. 2 Corinthians 1:10. And the word deliver means to save. To save. He saved us from so great a death, on eternal death. And He does save, in whom we trust He will yet save us. Isn't that amazing? Wonderful. What a mighty God we serve. Now let's finish the account in Matthew chapter 1. Verse 22. Now all of this was done that it might be fulfilled that was spoken of the Lord, or by the Lord, by the prophet Isaiah. And this is in Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call His name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us, or God come down to man, dwelling with man. That is an amazing thought. And the sign of the virgin was given to a king of Judah who was in disobedience to the Lord in Isaiah chapter 7. Turn there just for a minute. Isaiah chapter 7. It was King Ahaz of Judah, and he had gone to Israel and Syria to make a league with them to fend off an enemy that was coming in. See, it says in verse 1, It came to pass in the days of Ahaz, king of Judah, that Rezin, the king of Syria, and Pekah, king of Israel, went up toward Jerusalem to war against Jerusalem. But they couldn't prevail against Jerusalem at that time because God would not allow it. And it was told the house of David, or Ahaz, saying, Syria is confederate with Ephraim. Syria had allied themselves with Israel. And the heart of the king was moved, and the heart of all of his people, as the trees of the woods are moved with the wind. In other words, they fainted and were fearful. And the Lord said unto Isaiah, Go forth now to meet Ahaz, thou and Sheershabab, thy son, at the end of the conduit of the upper pool in the highway of the fuller's field, and say to him, take heed and be quiet. Fear not, don't be afraid, neither be faint-hearted for these two tales of smoking firebrands, for Syria and for Israel. He tells him that these kings are not going to be able to prevail against you. And then verse 10, moreover, the Lord spake unto Ahaz, saying, ask thee a sign of the Lord thy God, ask it either in the depth or height above. But Ahaz said, I will not ask, neither will I tempt the Lord. Well, here some might think that he was being very pious about it, but in reality, he was being, I believe, rebellious against the Lord. He didn't want to know. But the Lord said unto him, hear you now, O house of David, is it a small thing for you to weary men? And will you weary God also? Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, God with us. Butter and honey shall he eat, that he may know to refuse the evil and choose the good as he grew up. For before the child shall know to refuse the evil and choose the good, the land that thou abhorrest shall be forsaken of both of her kings. Of course, that happened during that time. So, he is God with us. And then Matthew 1:24. And then Joseph, being raised from sleep, from his dream, he did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him. He took unto himself his wife, Mary, and he knew her not until she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he, Joseph, called his name Jesus. Jesus. There's no other name in heaven above nor earth beneath whereby we must be saved. Praise God. He is both the Son of David, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and the Son of Abraham, the one who would become the sacrifice in our stead. For she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. God bless you, my prayer.